Okay, my friends, before we begin, first I would like to apologize that once again we will not be doing Noyim Ale Melech after Chovetz Talmidim. My life is still in disarray, and hopefully we'll get back to it afterwards. However, there will be a shiur from Rabbi Lerner tonight after the Chovetz Talmidim. Everyone is, of course, invited. Rabbi Lerner is one of the foremost poskim of this generation, and therefore I do strongly advise that you take up the opportunity to be able to have him here. I would like to also make mention of the fact that we have a welcome visitor. Shalom Green's uncle is joining us for this year. Okay, my friends, here we are. We're on page Ayin Gimel, the Sefer Piasetzna, the Piasetzna Rebbe, the Sefer Chovetz Talmid, and the Piasetzna Rebbe, as we know, was the Rebbe from the Warsaw Ghetto of Kolonimus, Kalman, Shapira, and he died there in the ghetto, and this manuscript was found afterwards in a milk bottle. Not this manuscript, a different manuscript. This one was printed in his lifetime, but he was famous for the manuscript, the Eish Kodesh, which was found. This was a Sefer that was very, very precious to him, and he felt very strongly about it. Actually writes beforehand that anyone that learns this Sefer, that he will, that the schus of his great his ancestry, that he was a descendant of the Neumann, the Melech of Lezhensk, and all others will intercede on his behalf. So now we're talking about over here a person establishing a relationship with Hashem. And we spoke about how Judaism is not a religion; it's a relationship. Person has to have a relationship with Hashem, and in order to do that, it has to be constant. It's not the type of thing that you check in and check out. It's not the type of thing that you pray three times a day. Person has to be constantly connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the course of his entire day. And everything that happens during the day, he has to be internalizing as this is all part of his life, and part of his mission, and part of his relationship with Hashem. We're on page Ayin Gimel. Targul es libcha v'nafshecha. A person should get himself into targul, is make a routine. He should become part of his routine. Targul is libcha. You should make your heart accustomed, v'snafshecha, and your soul, l'shtapeach l'Hashem, b'siach u'tfila, to spill itself out to Hashem, pour itself out to Hashem, b'siach, in conversation and tfila and prayer. Davening isn't just saying a mantra, it's just words, the same thing over and again. It's supposed to be a person is pouring out their heart. Like we sing, Shifchi kamayim libech. Spill out your heart to Hashem. Nar af hagodol. Young man, even an older person. Im yesh loy achdeya ktana. If he has a small opinion. Choyshvim. Shekol atzmo shel tfila. People, young people, even old people, have a misconception in what davening is meant to be. What is prayer? They think that the whole essence of tefillah, he had daiga ve'atzorois she'aleihem espalalim. It's the worries, it's the concerns, it's the problems that we're davening for. Like a rich person who goes and he's collecting from a poor person, he's asking him for that he should give him a donation. Oh, kol ish min ha'melech basar v'dam. Any person that stands in front of a king and is asking him for a gift. The king can help him with something. And he needs his assistance from the authorities. So he pleads, he begs. We think that's what tefillah is. A person that has that opinion is missing the point. He's empty. He doesn't know. It's in a certain way, it's profaning the tefillah. It's making the tefillah, it's losing its... The sanctity of tefillah. And if you think tefillah is just because I have things, I got worries, and I got to take care of my worries, so I pray. If he had nothing, he didn't need anything, he wouldn't daven. Like I heard someone say once, he says, you know, just like, I would just love for things to just stay the way they are. I don't need anything. I'm good, Hashem, I'm good. It's like, so then what do you have to daven for? If it wasn't for the things that he needed, he wouldn't daven. Chas v'sholom. That's a terrible thought. Ki be'emes ha'tfilo be'atzma. The tfilo for the very sake of tfilo. Hiskarvus ha'leiv v'shtapchus ha'nefesh la'Hashem be'tfilo. Pouring out your heart. Hiskarvus Halev is getting close to him. Forging a relationship with him. That alone. Zuhi ha'ikar asher b'tfilah. That is the main point of tefillah. Ure'eina b'medrash oid yoyser. Let's look even further in the medrash. Loi bilvad. Not only. She'ein ha'tfilah misubebes min ha'daigus v'hatzaris. Not only is that prayer, is tefillah, is it a result of a person's worries, and it's in order to appease a person, to get out of his problems. Rak shelefamim, es hadaigos, shoyleach Hashem, kidei shenispalel olav yisporach. The purpose of our daigos is for our tefillahs. And Rabbi Yerucham said this also, Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, the Mashkiach, in Amir, he said, people think that a person has a tzara, so therefore he needs to daven. He says the truth is fakert. A person needs to have daven. So Hashem gives him a tzara. It's pun fakert. Hashem wants us to daven. How does he get you to daven? Some people need a little squeeze in order to daven. Or else they don't daven. Or they don't daven well. And that's really, it's all about the davening, the purpose, the point, the ends is the davening, the means is the tzara. Isa b'shmois rabba, am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, lema hadover doimer. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, let me explain. Lemelech shoyu babaderech. There was a king, he was walking down the way. There was a young lady, she was the daughter of a king, she was screaming, a different king, save me, save me. There was someone who was attacking her. The king heard and he saved her. And he swooped in and he saved the day. A beautiful love story. He wanted to marry her. He came in, he saved the day. He was her knight in shining armor, or in this case her king in shining armor. He saved her, and it's beautiful. He's a king, she's royalty, she's got royal blood, everything works out great, let's get married. He wanted to talk to her. She wasn't interested. Ma osa hamelech. So what did the king do? Okay. Gave her Bahalistim. So he got that other people should go attack her. You know, all of a sudden she's walking, she's getting attacked. Kidesha Titzak, she's screaming, someone save me! Here he comes again. Vayishma Melech. And the king came in. And the Medrash is saying Hashem is doing the same thing. Hashem is like, hello, I want to talk to you. Can we have a conversation? I don't have time for you, Hashem. Oh, well, guess what? I guess you're going to have to make time for me. Oh, that hurts so much, Hashem. I need a refuah shalema. Oh, now we're talking. This is very important. And very important for us to realize. The whole purpose of the challenges and the struggles that we go through is all in order that Kodesh Baruch Hu should get our attention, because He wants to talk to us. He wants to talk to us. He wants a relationship. And that's why, there was a lot of challenges. The Avos and the Imos, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't simple. I mean, Baruch Hashem, all's well that ends well, but they had a rough time. The Imais were Akoros, so I had a rough time. Rivka had a rough time. Rachel, they had rough times. Why? Why were they barren? The Gemara says because Hashem wanted them to daven. Hashem wanted them to dig deep and down inside and to really connect with Him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that from us also. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us something that's a challenge, it's because He's trying to get our attention. And I'm going to tell you something that's extremely important. I like to save you a lot of personal pain. There are tzaras in the world. If a person internalizes other people's pain, and Hashem gets your attention, that's all He wants. You know, there's a young man who drowned at sea. His name is Rabbi Baumel. He was a nice guy. He grew up in Teaneck, New Jersey. That's where I grew up. His father was my Rebbe. He jumped into the water to save one of his own students. His student survived, he died. His family was missing for days. His family didn't know what was happening. The pain that they were going through. Did we feel it? Did we daven? Hashem was trying to get our attention, all of our attentions. There was an 11-year-old kid, first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. He was riding his bike, got hit by a car. His father learned in this yeshiva. His father sold phones to most of you guys. He just died. Hashem Yirachem Baruch Dayan Emes. Did we daven for him? Are we thinking about other people? Because if Hashem can get our attention by making one tzara, and all of Kal Yisrael starts like paying attention, and we're all listening, and we're all davening, and we're all taking it to heart. So that's all he needs to do. That's all he needs to do. He's just trying to get our attention. But if it doesn't work, when it's like out there, so then Hashem almost doesn't have a choice but to bring it closer to home. We don't want that. All Hashem wants is a relationship. So if we would, when we're in that type of situation, just take a moment to daven, to try to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all he's asking for. That's what tefillah is. Es ha-nimshol betach ato me'atzmecha meivin. You understand the nimshol yourself, the mashal of the king and this other royal young lady. Ha-nefesh shelcha bas melachim. Your neshama, our soul, we know, the soul is a chilek elokam imal. The soul is comes from royalty. Our soul is part of Hashem. Roitza kodesh baruch hu lisa, so Hashem wants a relationship with our neshama. Kiloyma shetiskarev, we should get close to him. Etis yachid b'kdushasai. We have to speak to Hashem. You can't have a relationship without talking. If you're davening for real, heartfelt, from your inside, it's coming from the walls of your heart. Your nefesh wakes up. Your soul wakes up. You start feeling things. And it starts uniting, and it starts connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hi ikra v'sachlisa shel tefillah. That is the main point of davening. Ad sheyeshnam dagois shehashem sholeach. There are worries that Hashem sends. Oysan l'isha yisraeli k'deshi yis oyder al yodom l'hispalel v'litzoik l'Hashem mikerev limboi v'nafshoi. Until a person, he davens from the depths of his heart. Just like that king, I'll tell you, I myself, I was just mentioned it to one of the boys recently, this morning. It was around 18 years ago when my son, Avrami, was born, and I was under a tremendous amount of lachatz because we had a new baby. It was my first son. The bris was going to be on the first day of Pesach. I had to make a Shalom Zachar. I was making our Pesach for our first time in Eretz Yisrael. There was so much going on. And I was like so exhausted, tired, that I couldn't see straight. And I couldn't see straight for days. And it wasn't going away. And I called up the eye doctor, Dr. Silverstone, and I said to him, listen, I can't see straight, but I don't have time to see the doctor. So can you just tell me I'm okay? And this is the story. So I called him, he said, I can't tell you that until I examine you. So you're going to have to come into the doctor. My parents were coming in the next day. The bris was 2 days. It was 2-3 days later. I didn't have time. He said, come in. 3 o'clock is before hours. I'll see you. Came in at 3 o'clock. He said to me, you have to go immediately to the hospital because you're in risk of going blind. And it's irreparable. You have a detached retina. And if your retina detaches totally, we cannot fix it. I almost fainted on the spot when he told me that. Literally almost fainted. He said, you cannot go home. You go straight to the hospital. And I said, can I get my tefillin? Can I my parents were, I came into the parking lot and my parents were coming into the house. My wife just had a baby. And there I am, and I'm like, okay, I got to have surgery. Doctor said I might go blind. And it was like, whoa, what's going on? It was pandemonium in my house. And my parents were like, you are not going to the hospital, good American parents, like, you got to go to America and have a surgery in America. We have to figure it out, which is the best doctor, which is that. And it was back and forth and back and forth. And finally decided I'm going to Tel Shomer, which is a hospital near Tel Aviv. I drive to Tel Aviv. It's like 12 o'clock at night, and the doctor's not there. They're doing tests on me. It was back and forth, and then I realized, I'm Davin Maariv. I've been so busy with everything. I'm Davin Maariv in Tel Shomer. It's 2:30 in the morning. There's no one there. I'm in the retina clinic. It's a huge hospital in Tel Shomer. And I can tell you that Shemoneh Esrei was like no Shemoneh Esrei I ever davened before, or really ever since. The Refa'enu, when I davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I felt like I'm like 26 years old, 27, I'm going blind. It's crazy. And that's all Hashem wanted. That's all He wanted from me. And truth be told, I should try to work on always davening that way. Because we all have stresses in our life that keep coming up. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to daven to Him. Because He's trying to remind us, whether it's parnassus stresses, whether it's stresses in our relationships, whether it's stresses in our learning, whatever it is that a person's stressing, just daven to Hashem. And that's the way that a person creates a relationship. We forge a relationship through conversation, through having that conversation. I'll share with you an amazing story. There was a holy Jew by the name of the Chassam Sofer. This story is very dear to me because I've been many times by the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer was a great, great man, towering figure. He was physically big, strong, very handsome, and very, extremely bright. He was so fabulous of a personality. And he was the Rav in Pressburg. And Chaznish was passing, when the Chassam Sofer was passing away, so his son's name was the Ksav Sofer. And his son said to him, he said to his father, he said, I'm not anywhere near your stature. How am I going to take your position? Because his father was now retiring. How am I going to hold your position? I just don't have what it takes. And his father said, don't worry. I'll be there for you. If you ever need me, I'm there. His father's buried in Pressburg. Anyway, there was a story that happened in Pressburg. That whoever was the leader, the czar, I don't remember what the title was passing through the town. And there was a royal procession. And during the royal procession, something that belonged to this monarch was stolen. And the audacity of someone to steal something that belonged to the king. And he was furious because, could you imagine, he comes now, he's coming here to show his, you know, the fact that he cares about the people of Pressburg, and they're stealing something from the king. They shut all entrances to the city. They put guards around it, and they went door to door. They're checking everywhere. Who stole this? We got to find this person. And they get at the house of one of the wealthy Jews that's there in Pressburg, and they find in one of the drawers, there it is. They found it. And they condemned him to death. He was going to be murdered, burned at the stake for the despicable act of stealing from the king. Now, he didn't steal from the king. He didn't steal from the king. What happened was he had someone that worked for him who stole. And he, when everything became to light, and they started going, you know, house to house, you know, we couldn't keep it. So he figured, let me get the Jew. And he hid it in his one of his, you know, drawers. And he told the authorities the Jew stole it. He was the witness. He was the witness. So that now the Ksav Sofer's got a serious situation on his hands. What's he going to do? This Jew is now condemned to murder for a crime he didn't commit. So this was the Austro-Hungarian Empire. He tried to send people into Budapest to be able to intercede on their behalf. Can't be, he's such a patriotic person, and he would never do such a thing, and it's a misunderstanding, and nothing doing. It's not happening. It was such a public affront to the king that something was stolen, and everyone, someone's head's got to roll. And it's going to be the Jew. That night, the night before the execution, the Ksav Sofer has a dream. And his father comes to him in a dream. And his father's upset. And he says to him, "Father, why are you upset at me?" He said, "How could you let this person die?" And he said, "Father, I did everything I could. There's nothing left for me to do. I left every stone unturned." He said, his father said, "No, you didn't. How are you sleeping? Why are you not davening? You have to daven." And he woke up from his dream, the Ksav Sofer. And he spent the rest of the night davening to Hashem, that Hashem should save his poor soul and have mercy on him and his family. And the next day, they started the procession. And you know, when they do something like that, if it was a hanging or a burning, it was going to be like a whole public exhibition. And as they're on the way to the courthouse, it's going to happen right next to the courthouse. Inexplicably, the judge said, "We'd like to speak to the witness one more time right before we execute him." The witness was this person's servant that was in his house. He was very like taken off guard. He wasn't expecting that at all. It's like the day of execution. All of a sudden, start asking him questions, and he's like, all of a sudden they said, you just contradicted what you said last time. And all he starts stumbling and fumbling, and then he just did blurt it out, admitted, "Okay, I stole it." And at the last minute, the guy was punished for the crime that he committed, and the Jew was set free. A person has an opportunity to pray. And when we pray, Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's all he's looking for from us. He's looking for us to be able to reach out to him. And he cares about us. And if we do that, so then all of the things that are burdening us, that are weighing us down, there's only one address. Hashem can solve all of them. Va'af ata, kishabasa lo'oires nafshecha. When you come, lo'oire, to awaken, nafshecha, your soul, shaloi tishon, you shouldn't fall into a slumber. V'tis aleif, you shouldn't faint spiritually. When you're standing in front of Hashem, your Father in heaven, and you're davening, you should start out with things that are bothering you. You should unburden yourself. Things that you need. We all could use a little bit more clarity, a little bit more understanding. Kodesh Baruch Hu, bring me back to your Torah. We all have things to repent for. We all have things that we regret. You're yearning, Hashem should open up your heart. Let me in. I want to learn. I want to serve you. Also, when we daven for parnasa, Hashem, give us blessing in this year. It's not only that there should be crops, that there should be wheat. That's on all sustenance. That's on all income. If your heart doesn't get warm, that you should give parnasa to your parents. Once a person does that, you're down for the things that you need. So now you're ready, your heart is already soft. It's already awake. And now already, you're able to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about all the other things that are there in the Tefillah. Speak about Mashiach. Speak about Yerushalayim. These are things that also are meaningful to us. But sometimes it's easier when it's something that is more personal. And not only when you're davening for the things that you need, once you've already gotten accustomed to the idea of your neshama being awake, when you speak about Hashem's thing, we speak about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then you'll even be more inspired with a true fire. When you talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are Kadosh. You speak about Hashem. Your name is holy. Tispal nafshecha. The targish. Your nefesh will become like in wonderment, and you have the feeling. Ech yoimedes lefnei makor hakadusha, that you're standing in front of the source of all holiness. Umedaberes elav beloshen noichach. You can engage HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a person talks to his friend. Umishabeches es kedusha, so you could praise him in front of him. Vayimeres ata kadosh, shimcha kadosh. V'tislayv, v'timas, and your soul, your heart will melt. Binoyam kedushos kadosh yisrael. Person that davens. Davening can become such a beautiful experience, such a pleasant experience. It can melt your heart. If a person just puts in the effort and he invests in his davening, so many times we don't even know what we're saying. We don't know what it means, or we don't bother to think about it. It's not because we haven't been taught, because we have translations if we want it. But a person has to invest in his davening. Think before he davens. What am I going to do right now? I'm going to speak to Hashem, Lashon Noichach, write to Hashem. I can connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all he wants from me. All of my problems can be solved. All of them. It's all right here. If we just daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we work on our relationship, all of us together, Beis Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help, that Klal Yisrael will know no more tzara, no more pain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will wipe off the tears of the faces of all the Jewish people. And we'll be zeichet to Mashiach Tzidkenu, and here we are.